praises be, hence evermore. Thy sovereign majesty may we in glory see, and to eternity love and adore.
We follow the order of confession and absolution as written in the front of the bulletin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy. And for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in this stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It is good to give thanks to the Lord.
To sing praises to your name, O Most High.
To declare your steadfast love in the morning.
And your faithfulness by night.
To the music of the lute and the harp.
To the melody of the lyre.
For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work.
At the works of your hands, I sing for joy.
How great are your works, O Lord!
Your thoughts are very deep.
The stupid man cannot know.
The fool cannot understand this.
That though the wicked sprout like grass, and all evildoers flourish,
they are doomed to destruction forever.
But you, O Lord, are on high forever. For behold your enemies, O Lord.
For behold your enemies shall perish. All evildoers shall be scattered.
But you have exalted my horn like that of the wild ox.
You have poured over me fresh oil.
My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies.
My ears have heard the doom of my evil assailants.
The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon.
They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God.
They still bear fruit in old age.
They are ever full of sap and green.
To declare that the Lord is upright.
He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
We pray. O God, you declare your mighty power above all in showing mercy and pity. Mercifully grant us such a measure of your grace that we may obtain your gracious promises and be made partakers of your heavenly treasures. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. The sermon this morning will look very closely at this Old Testament reading and also the New Testament reading. And so as we go through that, think about these things, and we will look at it and think about it even more carefully during the sermon. The Old Testament reading is from Jeremiah chapter 7, beginning at the first verse. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord: stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you men of Judah, who enter these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your deeds, and I will let you dwell in this place. Do not trust in these deceptive words. This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. For if you truly amend your ways and your deeds, if you truly execute justice one with another, if you do not oppress the sojourner, the fatherless, or the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not go after other gods to your own harm, then I will let you dwell in this place, in the land that I gave of old to your fathers forever. Behold, you trust in deceptive words to no avail. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, make offerings to Baal, and go after other gods that you have not known? And then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered, only to go on doing all these abominations? Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, I myself have seen it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from Romans chapter 9 and chapter 10. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who do not pursue righteousness have attained it, that is, a righteousness that is by faith. But that Israel, who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness, did not succeed in reaching that law? Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as if it were based on works. They have stumbled over the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand and sing Alleluia.
Alleluia. Alleluia.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 19th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. But the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you because you did not know the time of your visitation. And he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold, saying to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. And he was teaching daily in the temple. The chief priests and the scribes and the principal men of the people were seeking to destroy him, but they did not find anything they could do, for all the people were hanging on his words. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to
We confess our faith using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
To God the Holy Spirit, let us pray. For the true faith needed on our way, that he may defend us when
focus on this Old Testament reading and also the Gospel reading. And there's on the back of the bulletin, there's somewhat of an outline with a few places to fill in blanks. But really what's repeated there on the back of the bulletin and what you'll be referring to is some of these passages from Jeremiah 7 and Matthew 19. To start, I reread from Matthew 19. And Jesus was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the principal men of the people were seeking to destroy him. But they did not find anything they could do, for all the people were hanging on his words. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I remember when we were in Ghana, we were missionaries there from 1992 to 98. Something happened. Soccer is very popular in Ghana and much of Africa. Something happened to the Ghana soccer team. We were in the northern area, and so we didn't have television and even radio that much, but we heard something that happened. The whole Ghana soccer team was fired. They were all fired. And that really made an impression upon us, and that was a tragedy. It's like, they're called the Ghana Black Stars. That's their national team. They were fired. They lost too many games. They fired them all. And I was thinking about that, and I'll relate that to our Old Testament text, but I wanted to look that up. Well, of course, the 1990s, the internet wasn't around too much, and nothing was published on that. But I ran across this article about the Ghana soccer team from January 3rd, 2020. January 3rd, 2020. The title of the little article is Ghana Soccer Association Fires All Coaches. They did it again. And it's just a little couple short paragraphs. I want to read this to you. So this is from January 2020. The Ghana Soccer Association has fired all its national team coaches in a drastic and unexpected move. That includes the coaches for the men's and women's senior national teams and all men's and women's youth teams, and all nine coaches were removed. The Ghana Football Association, remember, football is called soccer in Ghana and much of Africa. The Ghana Football Association said it, quote, dissolved the technical teams of all national teams with immediate effect, and, quote, extends its appreciation to all coaches and members of the respective national teams for their contributions. I find that last part kind of interesting. Thank you for your help, but you're all fired. The Ghana Football Association gave no reason for the decision. The move means that Kwasi Appiah has been fired as coach of the men's senior team for the second time. Appiah appears to have paid for Ghana's disappointing Africa Cup of National campaign last year in Egypt, when the Black Stars lost to Tunisia on penalties in the last 16. The decision to start again with coaching staffs of all national teams came soon after the GFA, Ghana Football Association, announced the appointment of a new general secretary. Appiah was the coach of Ghana from 2012 to 2014, He lost his job to former Chelsea manager Avram Grant, but was rehired in 2017. Ghana is a four-time African champion, but won its last continental championship in 1982. It has lost three African Cup finals since then, two of them in penalty shootouts. The team was in the spotlight at 2010 World Cup of South Africa, and became only the third African team to reach the quarterfinals. It only just missed out on the semifinals by losing to Uruguay again on penalties. Last paragraph. Listen to the last paragraph. I've been noticing this a lot. Don't they sometimes leave the most important information to the last paragraph? Last paragraph of this little article. But there's been trouble at the Ghana Football Association in recent years. It was disbanded by the country's president in 2018 following allegations of widespread corruption in the game in the West African country. Amid the scandal, the president of the GFA was banned for life by the Federation International Football Association, FIFA. Banned for life. And the vice president of the African Soccer Confederation was caught in a documentary accepting $65,000 in cash from undercover reporters posing as businessmen.
fired them all. Yes, you were corrupt. But we have a stadium. Doesn't matter. You're fired. You're corrupt. But there's people who want to watch us. Doesn't matter. You're fired. You're corrupt. But we have a temple. But if you don't amend your ways, you will not last. The prophet Jeremiah, his ministry covered from about 626 BC to 586 BC and a little bit longer. In 586 BC, Jerusalem was conquered and destroyed, and the temple with it. And Jeremiah's task, if you read through all of Jeremiah, his task over and over again was to tell the people this. You can shorten it to this phrase: amend your ways, or there will be destruction. In our reading for today from Jeremiah 7, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your deeds, and I will let you dwell in the place. Do not trust these deceptive words. What are those deceptive words? This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. What the people were doing at Jeremiah's time is that we have a temple. Of course, we're going to stay forever. It doesn't matter how we live. It doesn't matter what we believe. We have the temple. That's the lie. The lie is, well, if you have a building, you must be right. It must be true. If you have an institution established, a legal organization, it must be right. It must be true. We know intellectually that that can't really be right. Just because you have a building, God is with you. Because there's all kinds of buildings, aren't there? There's Muslim mosques who deny that Jesus is the Christ. There's all kinds of buildings that have different religious beliefs but don't include anything about Jesus in those beliefs. Not that he is the Son of God. And even some Christian churches would really doubt whether Jesus is the true Son of God in their teachings. So we have all these teachings and variety of teachings. So just because you have a building doesn't mean that God is with you. That was the fooler. That was the belief at Jeremiah's time. We had the temple, we had the temple, we had the temple. We're okay. But this message from Jeremiah says, no, that does not guarantee that you are okay. So what is pleasing to God? Not that you just have a building, a temple. He goes on in the very next verses. And I would summarize it, one way to summarize it is, treat other people with love as God has loved you. Isn't that what Jesus said? Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Treat other people with love. He says there in verse 5 of Jeremiah 7, for if you truly amend your ways and your deeds, listen to this list. If you truly execute justice with one another, be fair with one another. And verse 6, if you do not oppress the sojourner, the stranger, the sojourner, that was a word, it's the one who is journeying through, the stranger. If you don't oppress them, if you don't take advantage of them, if you do not oppress the fatherless, the orphan, and the widow, if you take care of them, that is what God is looking for. Or if you do not shed innocent blood in this place, or if you do not go after other gods to your own harm. Not other gods, other religions, but to worship the one true God. He says in verse 7, then I will let you dwell in this place, in the land that I gave of old to your fathers forever. To take care of one another. To love and take care of the weak. Treat each other well. And no false religions, no false teachings, no false gods. That is what's pleasing to God. That is what God is looking for. Also, God wants us, as talking with the children today, for us to know and do His Word. And don't change His Word, but His Word. Jeremiah continued in verse 8. Behold, you trust in deceptive words. That's what the people were doing. They were trusting in deceptive words. And then he says to them, will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, make offerings to Baal? Sounds like the Ten Commandments, right? And as our signboard mentioned, it's not choose which one. It's not a checklist. It's a whole list. All these are God's commands. All these are how God's people should live. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, make offerings to Baal, and go after gods that you have not known? Are you going to do all these things, verse 10, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name? So you're going to do all these things, and then come into the temple and say, oh, now I'm delivered because I'm in the temple. And then know how that ends, verse 10. Only to go on doing all these abominations. You did all these things, you came into the temple, we are delivered, but you keep doing these things. You never really repented. So they were thinking in Jeremiah's time that they had the building, the temple, the sacrifices. But they didn't have to listen to God's word. They didn't have to abide by God's word. They just had the place and they could go about the motions, but their behaviors and how they treated one another and how they treated the fatherless and the widow and the sojourner, that didn't matter. They had the building. Jeremiah says, nope. It's rather your life. It's rather the word of God. This is what is pleasing to God. You can have the building, but if what goes on in the building is not God's word, and what goes on in the life of God's people is not His will, and if they don't repent and amend their ways, that's not God with us. This happened over and over again among God's people, so that when the Son of God Himself was ministering and giving miracles, blessing people, forgiving people, teaching people, so many people in Jesus' very presence would not believe in Him or even say that you're of the devil. And going to Matthew 19 then, I read from, I have 45 and a few other verses there listed. And he, that's Jesus, he enters the temple. So the temple was destroyed in 586 BC, and then God allowed it to be built again. And Jesus is in that second temple, and he begins to drive out those who sold, saying to them, it is written, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. The people had done exactly, again, what they did at Jeremiah's time. They were saying, we have the temple, we're safe, but the behaviors in life and how they used the temple and how they mistreated one another, that didn't change. But they had the temple, they thought they were safe. Same thing at Jesus' time. They thought the temple, they thought they were safe, but Jesus said, look what you're doing. This is supposed to be a house of prayer. But you've made it into a den of robbers. And you can see he's actually quoting that passage from Jeremiah. You're doing the same thing that they did at Jeremiah's time. How does Jesus, he drives out the robbers or the money changers. And then what does he do in the temple? Look at those very next verses. And he was teaching daily in the temple. What was the temple for? What was God's house for? The teachings of Jesus. And that's what he gave. He cleared out the wrong way of using it. And then he blessed the people with his teaching for days. That's what the temple needed, was the word of God, the teachings of Jesus. Verse 47, and he was teaching daily in the temple. The chief priests and the scribes and the principal men of the people were seeking to destroy him. We don't like this. We don't like you, Jesus. You sent out our money changers. We don't want you here. We're trying to get rid of you. But then what does Matthew record? But they could not find anything they could do, for all the people were hanging on his what? They were hanging on his words. The people, as Jesus scolded them and yelled at them, you're doing the wrong thing in the temple. This is supposed to be a place for prayer. You're treating it as a place of robbers. Just like Jeremiah. I'm quoting Jeremiah. But what you need is the word of God. And so he taught. And those against Jesus, they couldn't do anything against him at the time because the people knew that this is what they needed. They needed the words of Jesus. They were hanging on his words. That's what the people in the temple needed, was the teachings of Jesus. Doesn't matter that you have a soccer stadium. If you're a cheat, we're just going to fire you. That doesn't matter if you have an audience or you're famous. If you're a cheat, if you're a bad coach, we're just going to fire you. That's what the Ghanaians do. They just fire you. It doesn't matter whether you have a beautiful building or institution. Is God's word there? Are the teachings of Jesus there? That's what matters. We are tempted very frequently here at Zion or at the larger church universal in many places. We are tempted to say, oh, everything is fine because we have the building or the property or we have the institution, we have the organization, big or small. We must be fine. But over and over again, that can be a great temptation to mislead people. If God's word is not the central thing and focus, the teachings of Jesus Christ, that is what is central. And Jesus, he drove out those money changers, and then what did he do? He taught and taught and taught. And the people hung on his words. This is what we need. If we ever get confused or misdirected, we need God's word. This will lead us to him. And that is God with us. That is God with us. The first place I preached in Ghana. Yeah. The first place was a log. We called it a fiac. People sitting on logs with grass shade. Very simple. But God's word was there. And God's word is here. And God's word may be at a large place or a small place or a simple place. But where God's word is, where Christ is in his teaching, there is God. There is God. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, forgive us when we trust in buildings or organizations as if that guarantees your presence. Forgive us when we disobey you and our behavior is bad. Forgive us for not valuing your word and your Son, Jesus Christ, above all. We ask you to continue to lead us in your will, to grant us to be with you and you with us in your word, and to know and trust that in your word, you bless us, and nothing can separate us from you in this love of Jesus Christ, your Son. All these things, Heavenly Father, we pray to you in his holy name. Amen. We stand and sing the offertory. It's printed in the bulletin.
Me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit.
We sing the offering hymn.
Peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
In thanksgiving for Christ, in whom we know the things that make for peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For pure teaching in the church and lives lived according to our Father's word, that his name would be hallowed among us, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the relief agencies of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, as they bring the comfort of God's kingdom to those in suffering, that forgiveness would be proclaimed throughout the world and his mercy be made known to all. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the government and those given authority to break and hinder the plans of the wicked and reward and encourage whatever is righteous and good, that through them God would bring about his good and gracious will. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For wisdom to be generous with our daily bread, as God is generous to us, that we would be defended from all greed, and remember that our security is not in wealth, but in his abundant care. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For an increase of love and forgiveness among us, that Satan would not divide us, and that God would defend us from grudges, animosity, and disdain that would blind us to his love, which embraces even his enemies, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For defense from temptation and every craft of the devil, that by his Spirit we would always cling to his word and remain steadfast in the faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the afflicted in body and soul, and for those who are in any lack, we remember Margaret, Bernita, Carolyn, Charlotte, Loretta, Kathy, Carlin, Shirley, Bill, Jason, Gary, Bryston,
Keith, Brad, David, Don, Denny, Ruby, James, Pastor Nierman, Pastor Shiwi, and Pastor Berlin. That God would restore them and keep us all in the ark of his church until his final day of visitation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
All we know that all these petitions are pleasing to you, Heavenly Father, and that you hear them for the sake of Christ Jesus, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray, I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul in all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. We pray our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You're invited to stand or sit for a closing hymn, In Thee Is Gladness.
For glory.